You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 415. Today's Sunday, August 19th, 2018, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Ham and Kurt. And before we start, please help out the podcast by subscribing, writing a review, and sharing links on Twitter and Facebook. If you don't, I'm going to bean Hammy with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball for being funnier than me.
I don't know what's more improbable, you throwing it that hard or actually being able to hit me.
It would have to be throwing it that hard, Ham, since, you know, maybe 50 miles an hour. No, maybe like 45 miles an hour.
All right.
I mean, seriously, the last time I was in one of those, you know.
Radar cages.
Yeah, radar gun things. It was at Turner Field a million years ago, and it was embarrassingly in the 40s then.
Yeah, 40s.
And you probably hurt your shoulder, too.
Wow. Yeah, exactly.
40s.
Maybe I'm misremembering, and it was the 60s.
Excuse us, Mr. Low 50s.
Yeah, that's right.
60s.
All right, guys. In tonight's show, we'll discuss the four-game sweep, the Acuna beaning. We'll introduce a new game called Who Would You Rather? And, of course, we will check in on the postseason hope meter. But first, a quick break. All right, so, guys, no other way to put it, a grim four games against the Rockies. The sweep had a bit of everything. Bad starting pitching, Newcomb. Bad relief, Minter. Offers at the plate, errors, questionable bullpen management. I won't go on, Ham.
Not at all. But
yeah, it really did. So, Ham, let's start with you. What was your big takeaway from this Colorado series?
Well, I mean, you're right. It was a tough week. It was also a great week. It felt just as great as it felt to win all those games in different ways against the Marlins, and you talked about it. We overpowered them. We had clutch hits. We had amazing pitching. That was used against us. What's that?
I said Tukey in that Marlins series. So
that
great.
Was so exciting. That feels really like fun. So long ago, and certainly the Rockies.
Like the Acuna beaning feels like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Tukey was great. So all those highs, and then it's just, you know, on the other side, we come up against one of the better offenses in the majors with solid pitching. And we're not as good, right? We're not as good against the Rockies as we are against the Marlins. I think a lot of teams can make that claim. But I think my big takeaway from this week is I think we are a playoff team. I think a lot of that has to do with the strength of our division. But I still think we are a Jekyll and Hyde team. We have just as many flaws as we do bright spots. We are certainly trending in the right direction. But we are young. We don't have all the pieces yet, and sometimes we put it together, and sometimes we don't. So we're still I think we're still a 500 team.
Yeah, I mean, very fair to say the Braves could have won two of those games, right? The first game, out of nowhere error from Dansby trying to backhand a ball that was hit right to him, and then that sort of shakes Brock, and he walks that guy, and then Saturday night the Minter thing. I mean. Right. The Newcomb start, they smacked us around. Right. Newcomb was bad. Allard was bad. That was just terrible. We lost that game.
Sure.
The Sunday finale, you know, Anibal was good. We just didn't hit. I mean, they, you know, but the Thursday and Saturday, those could have been two victories.
Yeah. Same with the Marlins. I mean, the Marlins could say the same thing about us, right? After the Dansby hit and some of the late inning hits. You know,
no, we here. Just owned them.
We did. And I agree. And we are better than the Marlins. I think we are probably just as good as the Rockies. But, you know, we still have some blind spots or some weak spots.
Yeah, well, no doubt.
Yeah.
Curtis, what was your takeaway?
I guess it seemed like it was the most disappointing four-game stretch of the season. I mean, we've had the Giants coming in and sweeping us was painful, but they sort of pounded us in that series. And the stretch when we lost the back end of that series in New York and then went to Milwaukee and lost those games were obviously depressing, but this is just the most disappointing one because, as you said, we had two of these games really wrapped up. I also am a little stressed about the fact that we're so terrible against the NL West, and I know that these sort of anomalies happen, but we've really won lots and lots of games against the Marlins and the Mets, 24 games that we won against the Marlins and the Mets combined, and we've won 28 games against teams outside of the division. So when you sort of start looking at matchups, it makes you, I mean, we're 1-2 against Arizona. These are the teams, obviously, that you could play. 3-2 against the Cubs, 2-5 now against Colorado, 2-5 against the Dodgers, 3-4 against Milwaukee. Obviously, you have winning records against the Phillies and the Nationals, but it's just we have to go to San Francisco that we're 0-3 against them. So I think the Braves are a really good team, but it seems like that when they've matched up against teams, especially good teams outside of the division, they have not played as well for whatever reason. The best performances of the series were all wasted. They were the three starting performances by everybody not named Sean Newcomb. And those are the days that, for whatever reason, the Braves decided they weren't going to hit. So,
I mean, the good news is if the Braves do make the playoffs, they'll face the Mets and the Marlins.
Yes, right. It's true. Yes. All the way through, we were actually going to face one of them in the World Series, too. Yes. It's just a weird way it plays out.
It really is.
Really,
it's really
good.
I think it's because the American League won the All-Star game. I think that's why we...
That's the new thing that they put in.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, the fact is it didn't destroy the season. You know, we're going to wake up Monday morning. We're recording this Sunday night. It's bottom of the seventh in Philadelphia, and the Mets are beating Philly 7-2. So it's very likely we wake up Monday morning and the Braves are still in first place. It depends on what they do now, right? Can they regroup? I mean, Kurt, you mentioned it, that the Braves have had two other four-game losing streaks this year. Is that early July, the two against the Yankees and the first two against the Brewers? They then went 3-4 over the next seven. That was Milwaukee, Toronto, and Arizona. They lost four in late July, one against the Marlins and that first three against the Dodgers. And then they won six of the next seven against the Marlins and the Mets. And then there's this coming week, right? Three against Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's not world beaters. I mean, they've won four of their last 10. And then four against Miami. It could be a very good week coming up. And then this, you know, the Braves are sort of right back where they need to be. But it's a big, big week.
Yeah, but I mean, so how confident?
Big week.
I mean, what's your confidence level of that happening? I mean, certainly in the past, there are times when we'd hit four games and be like, "Oh, I'm confident we'll come back. I'm confident that we have all the pieces. This is just an anomaly." Do you feel? I mean, I just don't feel 100% confidence. I don't know if I have 60% confidence that we will bounce back from this. Do you?
I feel fairly confident. Just because this is what this team has done. This team has not gone off the rails. This team has a ton of talent. Tukey is supposed to start again this coming week.
Yes.
It's four with the Marlins. Acuna hasn't stopped hitting. I just think there's a lot of good signs that this doesn't have to be any sort of trend.
Yeah.
I think the thing that makes, if any, the Pirates series, we never seem to play well in Pittsburgh. It's just one of those, it's like going to Cincinnati. It's just one of those weird places in San Diego that we really don't play all that well. So it seems like that's a bad place for us to go right off of this, but maybe it'll help to kind of go on the road and get this out of their system. And, you know, just start anew. And then they get to come back home again. It's a short road trip just for a week, two series, and then they're back home again. So, but yeah, I'm worried. I am a little worried about this Pirates series.
Well, let's take two or three. All right. So, Kurt, the other enormous story from this week was, of course, Ronald Acuna becoming the best player on the planet, and then Jose Urania not liking it and trying to break his elbow with a fastball. So, like we said, Ham, I mean, it does seem like it was not just whatever that was, Tuesday, right? But so Acuna's back on the field. Urania got a six-game suspension that he's appealing. So, Curtis, just general thoughts about Acuna's crazy week?
He is amazing.
Good place to start.
Yeah, like transformative amazing. I mean,
if you think so.
Yeah, I think that
if that's the bar that you
I mean, why not? But I think that it's amazing that he is not sort of going beyond the hype. I mean, I don't know that anybody, even in your wildest dreams, expected that it would be like this. I mean, you and I, Steve, were at the game Saturday night, and it was just like double, single, double, you know? I mean, it's like every time he's up, he was at least 2 for 2 with a walk. You mentioned he's taken more walks. He's just an amazing baseball player. He made a crazy play where the ball, it was sort of late in that game, but he made this jumping catch as the ball bounced back toward him off the wall and then turned and threw a bullet to second, sort of the second he landed. And it was amazing. I mean, it was just a play that you might not even pay attention to, but it just like the athleticism and the skill that it took to make that play was just amazing. But the Urania thing, just really unfortunate. I mean, you saw the visceral reaction from the Braves. I mean, there's just no reason for that. The guy is enjoying himself as a baseball player, and baseball can be sort of a slow, dreary sport at times. And to get fired up because the guy, get him out. Like everybody said, throw him a curveball. Don't throw him fastballs down the middle. What do you expect him to do? That's his job, you know? So it's one of those things. I mean, right now he and Freeman and Markakis are, as far as our lineup goes, they are the most important pieces of what we've got going on. And to
I'd
lose
throw
one
Camargo
of those guys,
in there, but no, yeah. Totally.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, I'm talking like stratospheric level, those three guys, yeah, definitely Camargo. But I can't imagine if he had been lost on something. And it's just cheap because the one guy has made a determination. And I thought it was interesting that Mattingly really didn't back him up. You saw Real Muto not even go out to protect him when the play happened. I mean, it clearly he had done it on his own. So.
We were talking about it, like you said, Saturday night at the game, that with as many interesting and exciting chapters as this season has had, you know, Flaherty leading the league in hitting, Culberson coming out of nowhere, Preston Tucker coming out of nowhere.
Jose Bautista.
Right. So I should have started there, Hanny. Yes, my apologies. Exactly.
And really ended there, too.
Yes. I mean, Brandon McCarthy being good at first, on a ball the whole season. But this whole, like, coming out of the All-Star break, Acuna starting at the top, you know, being inserted to the top of the lineup, and then just carrying the team.
Yeah.
And it's just been, like, surreal good. I mean, not counting the finale against Colorado, since being inserted at the top of the lineup July 20th, he's slashing .368, .442, .792. That's a 1.2 OPS. He's got 12 homers and 8 stolen bases. I mean, it really is just like made up stuff.
He's best player in baseball in that stretch since that date, since he was put in the starting lineup. No one's been better. MVP, right? He is our second half MVP, not even close. It's pretty amazing.
And to, like, over 4 games insert himself into the Rookie of the Year conversation when Soto was just winning it going away.
Yeah.
And then seriously, like, in 4 games, the whole thing changes. You know, the one thing, sorry, I'll let you go in just a sec. The other thing that was interesting for me, I was listening, Chipper was on 680 The Fan, the Braves flagship here in Atlanta. And the guys were asking him about the 6-game suspension, if they, you know, if Chipper thought it was fair, if it was enough, whatever. And Chipper didn't answer the question. He just went straight to, well, the players will bean him whenever they get to see him. Like, in other words, Chipper had no interest in the Major League Baseball suspension. It had nothing to do with justice being served. It was just about when a Braves pitcher could bean him.
Which is just stupid. I'm sorry. The whole beaning thing. I mean, whatever. I know baseball has its pastimes and its, you know, all of that. I think it's asinine. It's the dumbest thing ever. And I think it was Ken Rosenthal, maybe, that one of you guys retweeted. It's like a starting pitcher going out and having a perfect game, and you just go out and hit him with the bat because you can't beat him. It's just the dumbest. It's the dumbest thing ever. So I can appreciate Chipper saying that. That's old school baseball, you know. You take care of your own and all that, but I think it's asinine. I think he should have gotten 15 games.
I agree. Ridiculous on the majors' part. But.
Yeah, and I mean, you can say, well, what his intent was. I mean, in some case, you have to go on outcomes, right? I mean, I wonder if his intent was to actually aim and hit Acuna's elbow, or to just come inside, knock him down, brush him off the plate with a high fastball.
Yeah, he was trying to probably hit him in the hip or whatever. But
yeah,
for one thing, it was the fastest first pitch he'd thrown. And we've all read that stuff. Yeah. And he ain't that good.
No,
he's no pinpoint control
guy. That's the thing where
it's just
it's careless.
Extra
and that's why
reckless.
You have to give him 15 games, right? 6 games is a start. He's not – it's a badge of honor for him. Right? I mean, it's like, yeah, I did what you do in baseball. You go out and you plunk a guy who's beating you.
But that's not what he said. I mean, the worst part about it is he wouldn't even own up to it. He wouldn't even man up to the fact that
he didn't understand why people were so mad.
Yeah, I wonder if he had broken Acuna's elbow if Major League Baseball had handed down a tougher sentence for him.
You know, I went back. Do you guys remember last season there was a Yankees? I don't remember who it was against, but there was a fight, Yankees and some other team, and Gary Sanchez comes in late and, like, sucker punches a guy. I don't know if you remember this, but it was just – it was blatant and ridiculous. And he got 4 games.
Crazy.
Like, you know, MLB can do all this stuff about, you know, sliding into second and, you know, protecting the catcher, but, like – When a pitcher's thrown 97 at a guy, somehow there's not a lot of protection, and there's not a lot of, you know, there's not a big punishment that comes from
well,
that.
Well, maybe they should just start mandating, like, penalties for that stuff. Like, in the NBA, if you come off the bench in a fight, you're automatically suspended for a certain number of games, and it's not even something that you can
it's no judgment call. It's no judgment, right?
Right. Just, and maybe start making it that way. If a guy comes off the bench to get in a fight, you know, that you're automatically suspended for a certain, or you intentionally bean somebody, that it's a mandatory. Yeah.
That's why it's so
suspension.
Tough. It's
right. It's hard
intent.
To determine if it's
yeah.
intent
because
right.
people exactly. get hit all the time when they don't. I'm with you, Curtis, though. I'm with you, but you know, it gets complicated. The only other thing I'd say about Acuna is, I mean, just to reinforce, Curtis, what you said, I mean, he's here and he's better than expected. And we now have, when you hear, I mean, all of the media about him was just so delicious, right?
Oh, my God. It was such a national story.
Oh, it was so great. And the comparisons to, like, Willie Mays, right? I mean, in the categories of only 4 people have done that, you know, all those different categories he was in because of how young he was and the leading off the games with homers, all that stuff. And the people he's getting compared to, I mean, are Hall of Famers. We haven't had one on the team since Chipper or even before, right? I mean, it's just – it's so exciting. He has the chance to be maybe the best Brave ever.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm – very excited with recency bias here, but he has, I mean, it's just so exciting and it's just getting started. It's just,
and I will say I was at the second game of that Monday doubleheader against the Marlins. And I was way down behind home plate, and it really did sound different coming off his bat, his first pitch homer in that second game of the doubleheader. I mean, he really is something special.
Yeah. We are so lucky.
All right, guys, new game. Would you rather? Pretty self-explanatory. I'm going to give you 2 choices and you make your pick. All right, first up. So after Dansby chased that slider in the bottom of the 9th on Saturday night, the slider that was like 4 feet off the plate. So Saturday night, you know, Twitter lit up with Dansby is useless, all that stuff. So Ham.
Yep.
Would you rather get the majority? So, I'm sorry. Would you rather, for the majority of the starts at short the rest of the season, Dansby or Culberson?
Culberson. I think it may be sacrilegious, and I know that Dansby is the chosen one. But until Culberson cools off, it really it makes no sense to go with Dansby, right? Even Culberson's had about twice the number of plate appearances. But if you're from an offensive standpoint, Culberson, his slash line against lefties, which is his weak spot, is 258, 298, 438, which is better than Dansby's slash line against righties, which is Dansby's, you know, strength, supposedly. Dansby's slashing 248, 300, 393 against righties. So it's not even a platoon thing. Culberson is just better from the plate. So I think you start Culberson and you have Dansby come in late. He seems to be sort of clutch. You have him come in for defensive substitutions, maybe late, but I think you go with Culberson.
No Curtis?
Question. Yeah, I don't even think it's really an argument at this point. Dansby, since the All-Star game, 167, 239, 283. Culberson is 377, 387, 738. So that sort of sums it up to me right there.
And he can pitch. He can throw it 95 miles an hour.
Obviously, Dansby had that huge two-run homer that
Dansby's
really
clutch. I mean, he's
enabled
your,
us
he's
to win
best
that game the other
the
night.
Bench,
but
you know,
you have to go with the guy that can produce at the plate. And right now, that's Culberson.
All right, so I disagree with both of you. For one thing, Ham, we don't know that he'd be a good pinch hitter. I know that his, you know, seventh inning and later is some of his best numbers, but you don't know if coming cold off the bench, that's still going to carry.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not arguing that Dansby's had a good offensive season. It's been awful. There's some irony in he had one of his best weeks of the season this week, slashing 286, 304, 524 with that homer, and he drove in six. But the reason I still keep Dansby in there every day is the offense has carried that black hole that has been Dansby, and I want his defense all game. Behind Newcomb, you know, behind the young guys, Tukey's going to play. I mean, Gausman was playing with terrible defense behind him in Baltimore. I think to lose that defense up the middle is not good long-term for the rest of the season anyway. I'm not saying about let's not revisit this in the off season, but I think you keep Dansby in there.
Well, what about if you move Camargo to short and put Culberson at third?
Yeah, I still want Dansby. I think because I think Dansby and Camargo is better defense than Culberson and Camargo, and I want that.
Mm. So you think our bigger problem is you think offensively we're fine. It's you'd rather shore up the defense.
Like well, that. I would say that. If I, you know, it's a recipe, right? And yeah. I think that mixing all those pieces together, I think the team is better with Dansby's weak bat and his offense and his defense versus losing his defense and having Culberson's somewhat shaky defense.
Yeah.
All right. So, Curtis, it was an ugly scene Saturday night. You and I know that because we were there for when AJ Minter blew that 3-run lead. The Phillies had already lost. I mean, it was just all sorts of bad. So, meanwhile, Aroldis Vizcaino resumed throwing earlier this week, and there's a possibility the Braves could have him back in September. So, Curtis, when Vizzy is back, who would you rather have closing games, Minter or Vizcaino?
Well, of course, the irony is that everybody was so mad when Minter wasn't able to close that second game against the Rockies when Brock blew the game. And then when Minter finally does get to pitch, he blows the game himself. I would go with Vizcaino. I know that he's been out for a while, but he's had more experience with the situation of closing. He produces his own level of shakiness when he's in there. But I just – and it might be because I was at the game on Saturday night and watched Minter blow a 3-run lead in heartbreaking and crushing, soul-crushing fashion. But I still want Vizcaino back as the closer for the team for now until Minter sort of has more experience and gets more games under his belt as the closer.
All right, Hammy.
I think you're scarred by Saturday night. I think, you know, in a perfect situation, you platoon those guys, right? Minter is just so much better against lefties than he is against righties and vice versa for Vizcaino. So if there's any way that you could, you know, foresee it enough or plan it enough where you see it that you could make that matchup, I would go that way. Otherwise, it's sort of a toss-up for me. I mean, like Kurt said with this guy, you know, he's been there before. I think he's got nastier stuff, but I think it's a little bit of feast or famine with him. He's sort of like a poor man's Aroldis Chapman. I think when he's bad, he's really bad, but when he's good, he's better than Mentor. But I think Mentor is a little more stable. And he was doing fine until Saturday night. I think he is young, but I think he's more reliable, and that's what I would want in a closer.
Yeah, Minter's appeared in 11 games since the All-Star break. So just taking, you know, the last month. If you throw out Saturday night against the Rockies, his slash line in those 10 games is 167, 211, 278. I mean, Minter's been dominant.
Yeah.
And even if just the fact that Vizcaino's coming back and hasn't been, you know, playing in the majors, I think you have to keep Mentor in there. If you know, Vizzy starts to just look amazing as he's pitching the seventh and the eighth, you know, maybe you slot him back in. But for me, it's just easy, easy Mentor. You keep him where he is. All right. So last one, Hammy, the Braves are in a one game wild card playoff.
Yep.
Who would you rather? Yeah, no, it's great. Who would you rather start the game, Folty or anyone else on the starting rotation?
Oh, on the starting rotation. Folty, you know, his ceiling is the highest. And I think of all the pitchers, if I had to bet my life on which pitcher I thought gave us the best chance of winning one game, I would go with him. It's not crazy confidence. Certainly there are other pitchers around the league who are not Braves who I would have more confidence in that. But for him, he's the most mature. I think, well, he's great stuff. He's continuing to figure it out. He gets better and better. He's pretty reliable. I mean, certainly he could go longer in games. Certainly he's prone to a bad inning here or there. But I would go with him. Everyone else is too young or too old or too Tehranian. Can I say that? Tehranese.
It's just getting worse.
It really is. I'll stop talking. But Folty, yes, I choose Folty.
All right, Curtis.
I mean, the obvious answer is Folty, but there's a chance that it depends on where you are and what the matchup is that Tehran would be a logical choice.
No, really? Yeah. Oh, Curtis. God, I know. I put on about
They're also going to have to think about that you're going to project ahead. You're going to burn Folty if he pitches in that game. So then if you win, he wouldn't be able to pitch game one.
Yeah, but then he comes back, though. I mean,
you got to win.
There's no.
So then you give Tehran game one.
Yeah, because otherwise you give no one nothing because you're not there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, there was that three-game stretch coming out of the All-Star break where Newcomb looked like the ace, you know, including that game against the Dodgers. And I could also be convinced that Anibal is the safest bet from a highest floor kind of perspective. You know, Folty's certainly a higher ceiling than Anibal. But Folty seems to have refound his footing since that rough four-game stretch on either side of the break. He's the ace of the staff. It's as good. Folty's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
For the Braves, and I think you have to go Folty. And he was very impressive this whole week. My God, that Marlins start was great, and the Rockies start, and he went seven. You know, came out with I think he pitched over 100 pitches, got through seven. It was he shut out the Rockies, whose offense is no joke.
Brutal. Yeah. Yep.
All right, guys, moving on to the postseason hope meter, where we all, although we know we're already in the wild card game. So, all right. So a scale of 1 to 10, we give our rating of how likely we think it is that the Braves will make it to the postseason. So, Curtis, you're up. I think last week you were a 5. Where are you this week?
Yeah, sort of in the same spot. I probably would have jumped dramatically if we had even split with the Rockies. But much like my views toward Mentor, my views toward the postseason have not gotten better. So I'm still at a 5.
All right, Ham, I think you were a 6 last week.
Yeah, I'm down a bit. I mean, I think it's a toss-up between us and the Phillies for the East.
Call, Ham.
What's yes. that?
Out on a limb.
Yes, I know.
Spot on.
But I think their easier schedule gives them a slight advantage. So I don't know. It is a toss-up for us. But I will say 5, although leaning more towards a 4 just because I think the Phillies road is easier. And I don't think we get I don't think we get the wild card. I think the wild card comes from the West. Both.
Right. Yeah, I'm staying with my eight. I think that the Phillies are not taking hold of anything. They're about, I mean, they're down 8-2 in the eighth. They're about to lose 2 of 3 to the Mets. The Phillies are not world beaters, and there's no good reason we don't take the East. So I'm sticking with my eight. All right. So next up, Shot in the Dark. But first, a quick break. All right. Shot in the Dark, our crazy predictions for the week that just concluded. And we'll begin with our listener Shot in the Dark from SportsPat15, who predicted that Tukey would strike out 10 and give up one earned in his debut. Tukey did only give up one earned, but only struck out 4. So thanks, Sports Pat. We appreciate you playing. Let's see how the three of us did. All right, so I predicted that Albies would go on a home run tear and hit 3 home runs this week. I was only 3 shy.
Oh, just missed it.
Very close, very close.
He needs to get it going.
Yeah, he looked good in that Marlins series, but it was not a great Colorado series for him. All right, Ham, you predicted the Braves would give up 20 earned runs all week. And you were looking good through the 4 Marlins games. There was 9 earned runs.
I know.
But then 12 earned runs through the first 2 games of the Colorado series.
Yeah.
Add 9 more over the final 2 games. They ended up at 30 for the week. So just missed, Ham.
Just missed. Man, we're all so close.
And Kurt, you predicted the Braves would be up 2.5 in the standings at the end of this week. Assuming this holds the Phillies score, they will be up 0.5. So no one hits this week. Kurt remains in the lead for the month of August. So, Hammy, we can't let that stand.
No.
Dear God, it's embarrassing.
Yes.
I am going to start. I will go that the Braves bullpen gives up no more than 3 earned over the 7 games this week. I need some complete games from the starters, I might add.
Yes. Let's hope we don't see a lot of Luke Jackson.
Hey, you know what? Luke Jackson's been pretty good, except for this weekend.
They're not right, saying Luke. They're saying Boo.
Yes, they're not saying Luke.
All right, Ham, what do you get?
Acuna, a little revenge, hits 3 homers against the Marlins.
God, that would be sweet. And I hope you're low. I hope you took the under.
Me too. And I guess we'll miss Urania, right? Because that will be when he's suspended.
Although he's appealed it. We'll talk about that in a second. But I just can't believe that he's going to pitch against the Braves.
Yeah.
I just don't believe it. All right, Curtis, what do you got?
I, given my huge aspirations for this Pittsburgh series, I have the Braves being outscored by 12 in Pittsburgh, but then turning around and outscoring the Marlins by 16 in Miami.
So I guess we'll hear this in a second, Kurt, but do you think the Braves get swept in Pittsburgh?
Well, I feel like that's a spoiler. I shouldn't even tell you.
Oh, okay, all right.
Let's keep the sections distinct here, Steve.
There's
don't
no
get the
COVID
segment
thing.
Segment overrun. No one likes that.
All right, folks. Remember, you get to play each week too. So get your Shot in the Dark in before first pitch on Monday via Twitter. And if we pick yours, we will discuss it on next week's show. And if you hit it exactly, you will win an Atlanta Baseball Talk koozie. All right, let's talk about this week ahead. Only 1 game per day this week.
Luxury.
Of course, no off games, no off days. So all on the road, 3 at Pittsburgh, 4 at Miami. Looking at the pitching matchup. So first up, Kevin Gausman faces Chris Archer in the trade deadline face-off, which is kind of cool. Archer has a 4.49 ERA. He's given up 3, 2, and 4 earned runs in his 3 starts as a Pirate. And he hasn't gone more than 5 innings in any of those 3 starts.
And the player to be named later in that trade turned out to be the Pirates' 4th overall prospect.
So no, I know. They really did. All right. Next up, Tehran gets Ivan Nova in his 4.26. And then Newcomb tries to bounce back in the finale in Pittsburgh. He faces Trevor Williams and his 3.53. So I'm not going to talk about the starters for the Marlins series because ESPN, for one thing, shows Urania pitching, which I don't believe. Bowman tweeted a couple days ago that Tukey is likely going to start Thursday or Friday in Florida. And none of the lineups I saw reflect that. So we'll watch how things unfold in Florida. So, seven games. Curtis, let's start with you since, you know, you've got all this mystery.
I know.
Right.
What happens this week?
3 and 4.
Swept and sweeping?
No. 1 and 2, 2 and 2.
Wow, splitting in Florida, no less.
Yeah.
Wow, you're down, Kurt.
I am.
It's okay. It's okay.
That's Saturday night.
I know. It was a gut punch. Hammy, what do you got?
I say I'm with Curtis about Pittsburgh a little bit. I say we go 1 and 2 in Pittsburgh, and then but 3 and 1 in Florida. So we win the Florida series and go 4 and 3 on the week.
Yeah, I will go 4 and 3 as well. I think 2 and 1 and – no, I'm going to go 5 and 2. 2 and 1 and 3 and 0. I'm just not that worried about the Pirates series, which may be silly. I grant you. But I think Gausman's going to pitch really well. Newcomb's going to bounce back. I just think things are going to go well in Pittsburgh. And the Marlins, forget it, man. We're just going to dominate them.
I feel better
and then
about
we're back.
That. Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough road ahead because then there's Red Sox, there's Cubs. We have a lot of tough series ahead of us.
Yeah. And, you know, I had it written down somewhere. The Phillies this coming week have Washington and who else? Someone else. Yeah, I don't see it. But Philly does go to Washington. And Washington is putting up no fight against anybody, but maybe they'll get up for that Philly series. All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spreaker. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access all of our shows and to post in our comment section. Please be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.
Had to admit the problem.